Our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello, happy Monday. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Nova Scotia at Axe Radio Canada, or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And as always, I always say, wherever you're listening from, thank you for tuning in. So today we are going to be speaking with a return guest, Wendy Newman. She is from I know her through the PAX organization, which is led by Allison Armstrong. And Wendy Newman is committed to people feeling uninhibited, connected, and free in their sexuality and relationships. She's led over 100 workshops about men, sex, and partnership to thousands of women across the U.S. and Canada. And over the past 10 years, she's interviewed thousands of men on sex, dating, relationships, and women. And to that extensive research input from outside sources and good old-fashioned trial and error, what you get is someone who has something to say about men, women, and dating. And she's also at 101firstdates.com, 101firstdates.com, a survival guide for the single girl. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Thank you for having me on, Marie. Thank you
for being back. I have a list of questions for you.
Before we jump in, can I make one quick correction?
Yep.
The website is 101dates.com.
101dates.com.
Yeah.
Oh, did I say 101 First Dates?
Yes, that's the name of the book. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, 101dates.com is the website, and the book is 101 First Dates. Pardon me.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. So maybe we should give a little bit for people who haven't heard you on this show before, just a little bit of a background about your sort of general views and where you get them on dating and relationships.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, my general views on dating happen from dating. I actually went on 121 first dates before I met my partner.
Wow.
I know. So I work for a company, PAX Programs, and we lead workshops for women to help understand men. So I had this great depth of knowledge of understanding men and how women and men can relate better and be great partners, but I didn't have my life partner for quite some time. After my marriage ended 11 years ago, I was searching, and how I started searching was by dating. But I am a woman. I thought it would just take me one or two dates. No. It took me 121 to get to him. So, that's my background.
I think I've had about 100. And I was going over, I'm trying to reframe it now, because last week I was crying about how I've had 7 relationships in the past 3.5 years that obviously have not led to marriage, and they all said that they wanted the same thing as me, and then they change their tune once they realize actually what it takes to be in a permanent lifetime partnership. But now I'm trying to reframe that to, well, I've had 7 men who were in love with me, who cared about me, and even though they didn't ultimately end up wanting the same thing, they did care and respect me. So that's an abundance of men rather than a lack of commitment.
Yeah, and another way to look at it is marriage is very complicated, and it means very different things to very different people. So my relationship and my partnership would look very different to yours, to your friends, to your neighbors. It isn't just that they didn't want what you wanted. As you got to unfold what it means to them, what it means to you, it just wasn't quite a match. It wasn't that they didn't want a partnership. Perhaps it just wasn't the right fit for that. Mm-hmm. We're complex human beings. We have a lot going on with what we need.
Okay, so I want to just jump into my first question, and I'll maybe lead into it with a bit of a story. So you've seen my post on Facebook about a guy who says he's looking for an independent woman, and I told him right off the bat, well, I'm not really that independent. not that I can't take care of myself, but I wouldn't define myself as an especially independent person. I'm very social. I like a lot of together time with my partner. And I let him know that. And he was like, well, I don't really care because I'm really attracted to you. So, and that's my first sign of red flag. And I'm like, well, you know, I appreciate that you're attracted to me and I still think this is important. And he said, well, let's explore it because there's so much chemistry between us. And so there's attraction, chemistry, sex, what I look like. Those are the only things that he seems to be focused on. No, even when I ask him more, like, well, what else do you like about me? You know, I like that you're willing to tolerate hockey, is what he said. And I'm like, wow, that's deep. I didn't say that, but that's what I thought. So yeah, you have big breasts and you'll sit next to me and put up with my hockey habit. Great. So that brings me to the question of Alison Armstrong in her program In Sync with the Opposite Sex advises people to just get those deal breakers out of the way immediately. Like if you're online dating, just put them in your profile or even talk about them before you've even had your first date. So what do you think of that? And what kind of balance do we need to have with that sort of attitude?
Well, I want to talk about the responses to independent for just a moment if I can. The word independent has 7 different meanings in the American Heritage Dictionary. Just on the word that's literal and in the dictionary. Most of them are about political affiliations. One of the two that might apply is free from influence, guidance, and control of another, which I don't know of any human being that isn't free from influence. Another one is financially self-sufficient. But the definition, financially self-sufficient, from free from influence is totally different. So my answer to you would have been to ask him, which you sounds like you already did, you dug in a little bit more. What do you mean by that? And then at the end of the day, trust yourself. You've got great instincts, so trust yourself. And when he says, let's try it anyway, if you have already determined you're trusting yourself and he's not your man, I just tell him, I'm really sorry, I'm dating to find my partner, not something casual. And fundamentally, we're not going to be a good match for each other. But if you don't mind, I want to talk about the Facebook comments for just a moment.
Sure.
You have so many rich answers and good friends wanting to contribute to you. And what I noticed was there were 2 camps. There was the give it a whirl, this is how relationships start camp. And then there was the other camp, which is you deserve better. And what I noticed in the you deserve better camp was there was interesting judgments about his motivations, like they were nefarious, that maybe he was just after sex, that he'd be emotionally lazy or affectionless. Wow. You got all that from, I don't want independent. One of the things I want to let women know, and men too, that when we've had terrible experiences in our past, we carry them with us if we don't take the time to heal them. And if we don't take the time to heal them, we drag them into the next person, or as we see the new person coming towards us, we just see that old hurt. We just see that old man. We cringe. That guy is not him. That guy is not your past relationship. So I highly recommend doing the work it takes to be squeaky clean and to be able to greet someone newly. And it's one of the ways I was able to keep stepping out and date 121 different men without thinking that they were all terrible. Okay. You got to dust yourself off and clean yourself off so you can greet that new person newly.
Well, I just want to be clear. I mean, I'm very open to dating men. I've given many, I mean, that's how I've been out on like 100 dates as well, is I've been open because not every guy has been bright and sparkly and shiny right off the bat. I've given many, many different types of men an opportunity to get to know me and for me to get to know them. And so I do think that my instincts are quite good. And when a man, I mean, I'm not going to write a man off over one thing, but when I'm seeing a pattern of like this guy has nothing to say about me other than attraction, chemistry, physicality.
Oh yeah, totally. And in your case it really did sound like that, especially when you dig in and what you get is hockey.
yeah. So
yeah.
Which is fine, you know, I mean if that's who he is, that's fine. It's just not what I'm looking for, and you know, I mean, he's a good looking guy. I'm sure he'll find someone who wants to roll with what he's looking for. I just, it feels frustrating for me because I'm so upfront about it. And I put it out there right away. It's like, I'm looking for marriage. This is what I want within the next couple of years. If you don't want that, that's fine. But what I'm finding is that a lot of men will say that they want that anyway. Even though, I mean, most of the men that I've had relationships with who've said that they've wanted that and then it hasn't either been the right match or they've realized that, you know, they do want marriage down the road, but they are nowhere near ready for it. And I can totally respect that. And unfortunately, it's disappointing and heartbreaking. But that's totally different than a guy who knows that this woman wants marriage. And yet he, I'm guessing, clearly has the intention for just sex and is just trying to do whatever it takes to get that. How do you weed those guys out?
Yeah, so you have already done a great job of road testing what happens when you throw your deal breakers out. So one of the hopes is if you lay your deal breakers out on the very first date, then you can sort quickly and you won't have to deal with this and you won't have to put up with anything that isn't quite a match for you, right? That's the hope. You've done some road testing on this. I've done some road testing on this. And what we find out is doesn't always happen. So what I highly, highly recommend for people is to know what their deal breakers are, know what they want to provide, know what they're hoping to give their partner, what they need from their partner, what they want to receive from their partner, know, have a general framework of what it is they're looking for in the opposite sex, know what you're looking for. And if you're going to be online dating, the online dating services does it for you in their outline of questions. You can throw your deal breakers in there to help screen. But at the end of the day, you're not going to know until you've put some time in. You're just not going to know. You know, you're going to need to have a date and have another date and have another date and keep watching and listening and learning about who this person really is. And one thing that you can do with some of your deal breakers is you can listen instead of is he or isn't he, you can listen to him, how is he? One of my deal breakers is he's got to be kind. He's got to be kind to people. He's got to be kind to people, especially in service, especially on the front lines of service. It's intolerable to me when somebody isn't kind to someone on the front lines. Now, you could say that. You could tell them that on the first date. And he honestly would say, yeah, I totally am that. Mm-hmm. But you want to watch for how is he. Is it the right currency for you? Is it the right flavor for you? Is it going to be tolerable for you? Time will tell.
All right. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
You wanted
and
to add
another
something else?
Thing to think about, whipping out deal breakers on a first date, which is something that the company I work for, PAX Programs, offers, absolutely fly your flag high, whip it out on the first date. I have a different opinion. Because could you imagine being at a local cafe or at Starbucks on your first meet-and-greet date, and before he even knows if you ride a bicycle or like the color green, you're slapping down all of the details that you need for a life partner? I had a friend, he lives in Seattle, he took this on. He created a 7-page list, including what he wanted to provide, what he was looking for in a partner, what his deal breakers were. He would bring the 7-page list to a first date.
Wow.
He also liked talking about prenups on a first date because he thought if he talked about a prenup, he could understand a woman's sense of fairness. Sexy?
Yeah, that would not be a second date for me, no.
So we can be a little intense. There's something to be said about letting things unfold naturally and paying attention and asking the questions and seeing how he is being that way and how he's not being that way.
All right, fair enough. Well, I mean, I don't have 7 pages. I have like a handful of main traits. And I guess if I could break it down into like nitty gritty specifics, like he has to be this way in this circumstance. But my deal breakers are more general ways of being rather than super, super nitty gritty specifics. But I totally see what you're saying. And I know that it's... it can be not very, it's not romantic at all. I guess the problem for me is, yeah, maybe I should just not even tell them, even like a few dates down the road, what it is. Maybe I should just be just observing. Because what I find, and, you know, the great thing about so many men is if they like you, they want to make you happy.
Yeah.
So if you tell them, yeah, I want to be married in a couple years, they think, well, I really like you. I could probably do that. But they haven't actually considered what they want. They're just like, oh, yeah, okay. Have you found that?
Yeah, I tend to have it be organic. So we could have a strategy where we tell them on the first date, or what I'm hearing you say is, well, maybe I don't need to do that. Maybe I can know my deal breakers, but I don't need to tell them. So we could go the opposite direction and not tell them. But it's also a strategy. I recommend having a strategy of authenticity, and if it's there to do right there on the first date, then do it. And if it's right there to do on the seventh date, do it. Whatever seems organic would be the right time. But for sure, I would be paying attention from the first date. I would be, like you said, I had specific things too. I have about 7 or 8 that I could ramble right off the top of my head, and they were characteristics. And some of them are flavors, and some of them I would never be able to tell until time had passed. One of my very top ones is my partner, he needed to be like-minded. You're not going to know that on a first date. He doesn't know you. You don't know him. I need him to be irreverent. Now, that's something that I could see on a first date. I need him to be kind. I can start to get a sense of it on the first date, but that is definitely something I want to see over time.
Okay.
I need him to be a wordsmith because I'm a writer, so he needs to have a little of that going on. I might be able to see that on a first date. He needs to be chivalrous. That's an overtime thing. Financially responsible. They can talk about that on their webpage, on their online dating profile. They could talk on the first date all about how financially responsible they are. You're not going to know that until you've spent some real time with him. I want to know if he loves my body. Again, that's something that, well, I may not know that on a first date. But with some, I may not. So there are some things that are going to take time, and there's some things that are going to be instantaneous. But what I've found over all those dates are the things that women really care about, the things we really want. You can't see it on a first date, and you can't call it out as a need and hope they can prove you right. But like I said, financially responsible could look very different to him than it could to you.
Thank you, Wendy. And you brought up the loves my body bit, which is actually one of the things that's really important to me as well. And I'm just wondering how you determine that, because I was with my last boyfriend was very sweet, and obviously he was attracted to me. There was no problem in that department. But he would tell me how pretty I was, but he would never comment on my body. And so I asked him a couple times, you know, do you like my body? What do you think of my body? And he was like, of course I do. But I didn't know if I really believed him. And I was friends with him before as well, so I knew the type of woman he went for, generally, and it's not me. So it was always a bit of a concern for me, even though he said, well, of course I like your body. So how do you determine that?
I believe them. Often, I knew the minute I met my partner, he wanted to have sex with me. He liked my body. That worked for him. Now, he didn't ask, and he didn't get to the first date, but it was very evident, and he's very vocal. So that worked for me, and I need that. I often ask, what is a favorite curve? Instead of, do you like mine, do you or don't you? I would ask a different question, like, what's your favorite curve on my body? Or something like that, so he has more than a yes or a no answer. I would let him know how I needed to be told. And that's going to depend on, you know, the individual woman, what it is, what is it she needs. Does she need to? Do you need to hear your hair looks pretty, that your face looks pretty, that your body looks pretty, that your outfit looks pretty? What do you need to hear? Do you need to hear you're beautiful, or do you need to hear you're cute? Different flavor. Every woman is different. If I could tell men all over the world one thing about women, is tell us we're beautiful. We already know we're smart. We know that about ourselves. But tell us we're beautiful when you think we're beautiful. But for them, it's often, well, yeah, duh, I'm out with you, and hello, you're beautiful. This goes without saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't go without saying.
No.
Yeah.
So can you, Wendy, give us a little bit of maybe a sample script as to how we would tell a guy how, because I was actually talking with a friend over the holidays about relationships and stuff, and he had said that he would probably only tell his partner that he loved her maybe once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, that would never be enough for me. I need to hear it every day. And his argument was, there were two things. His argument was, if he said he loved his partner every day, it would lose meaning. And the second thing was that, of course, he would tell his children he loved them every day, but not his partner. And I was like, wow, I would never have your children. I would have to leave. I couldn't handle that. So how can you say that, like, say what you need? Because to a man, maybe he does think it would lose meaning. How do you communicate that with, while still respecting his opinion of that word?
Yeah. At the stage where he's your husband already, it's kind of, you know, may want to work that out before he's your husband. But, yeah. But I would tell him what it is I need in the area of having verbal affirmation and of his love for me, what he thinks of my body, whatever the case may be. I would tell him what I need. And then after, I would tell him exactly what I need. I need you to tell me that you love me, and I need to hear it more than once a week. It doesn't have to be every day. It could be, doesn't have to be, but I don't know. On average, let's say 4 times a week, tell me you love me. And what it'll provide for me if you do that is I'll get to be a confident woman in our marriage. I'll get to be in my yummy feminine energy because I know that I'm cherished and loved and adored, and I will be more relaxed. I'll be a better mother to our children. I'll be happier. I won't be consumed with doubt and wonder if I still do it for you. I actually need to know that you care about me. So I'd tell them the thing that I need, and then I'd tell them what it would provide in my life if he did that for me. Who do you get to be as a woman when you have what you need? Because when you don't have what you need, you're off balance, you're off kilter, you're upset, and you're not your best self. And as your partner, he's going to want you to be at your best self. He's going to want you to be that yummy, delicious person that he picked. And when we don't have what we need, we're not that.
Thank you, Wendy. And what about people who think, well, then you should be able to just tell yourself that you love yourself, or, you know, like, you should be able to, because there are certain things that we need to be able to provide for ourselves, and we can't always be looking to our partner or our friends. So how do you balance that out?
Now, this may answer the question, why did I have to go on 121 first dates? But if I couldn't get what I needed from a man, I knew he wasn't my partner. And I didn't need to explain why I needed it or justify why I needed it. I just did. We need what we need. And if they think that it's too much or wrong or something they're not interested in, then you're just not a good match.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate to try and convince someone to tell me they loved me every day if it was a struggle for them. I'm not signing up for that.
No, I agree, yeah.
I signed up for someone who was demonstrative.
All right, because not every woman needs to hear that every day.
Yep, that's correct.
So, okay, fair enough. All right. Thank you, Wendy. Well, it is time for a break. So we are speaking right now with Wendy Newman, and she is from 101dates.com, 101dates.com. She's also the author of 101 First Dates, a survival guide for the single girl. And she's going to be doing a workshop coming up soon. So we will talk about that coming up next. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we'll be right back.
LiveBand.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. LiveBand.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveBand.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
There's only one way that old clunker is going to make you feel good again. Donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle, a tax-deductible receipt, and a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
CITR and the Vancouver web scene, Van Music, present 3 nights a week of awesome music from both local and touring bands. Check out Tune Up Tuesdays and Showcase Thursdays at Displace Hashery at 3293 West 4th Avenue, where bands come to jam for a chance to win some great prizes. And don't forget the Indie Pop Vancouver series, happening every Friday at the British Ex-Servicemen Association, 1143 Kingsway. Be sure to come out and support live music.
With the vast amount of changes happening in the world, it's almost impossible to get a clear picture of what's really going on.
We are trapped within the logic of capitalism, leaving us unable to imagine what comes next.
The Extra Environmentalist brings the perspectives of people who can see the whole picture and are ready for whatever comes our way.
Tune in to The Extra Environmentalist every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
This is the viewpoint that makes all places the same to you.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we're joined by Wendy Newman. Welcome back to the show, Wendy.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. And so thank you. I appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us. And as much learning as I've done and as many dates as I've been on, it's still, I've been to the Alison Armstrong workshop in LA, the first one. And listen to a bunch of her audios and stuff. And I still find myself doing the, like, rather than asking for what I need directly, complaining about it. Like, well, why don't you do this? Or I'll sort of half ask for it, but not in a way that is necessarily going to land well with him. How long did it take you to really get this stuff down?
Well, it does take practice. And one of the things that I most want to provide for women in my dating course is how to date with grace. And it's really difficult, especially when you're in a hard situation where you need that one-liner that is going to get you out of the situation gracefully or end it gracefully, all those sorts of things. Handle paying for dates gracefully. There's a million different little details to being single, being out there, that has us not be in grace. And usually it's because we're confronted with something very quickly, we don't have an answer, and we can't think fast enough on our feet because we're shocked it even happened. Mm-hmm. So that actually I learned over time, over date after date after date after date. And I fine-tuned it in a way, again, I have the title that no woman wants, dating expert. After that many dates, I fine-tuned it well enough to come up with literal one-liners that honor you as a woman and honors him as a man. That doesn't put anyone out, that doesn't upset anyone, that doesn't tick anyone off, and has things move along swiftly. So that happened over the course of 10 years.
Wendy, it brings up another question for me, and I do want to talk about your workshop. It's going to be an 8-week teleclass starting in just a couple of days, hey?
Starts Thursday.
Thursday. But we talked before the break about, you know, you don't want to ask a guy who would only ever say, I love you, once a week to say it every day. Like, if it's going to be a stretch for him, then it's not going to be a right match. But how do you determine that? Because I had one of the things that's really important to me is a man who's generous and who does want to be chivalrous and pay for dates and things like that. And yet I also know that there's a lot of confusion around that. And some women are insulted if a man pays for a date. And so how do you navigate that and determine whether he's just not a generous person or he's just not informed of what you need?
Really good point. Super good point. And thank you for noticing that there is a lot of confusion around that, because I hear a lot of women say they need a man to be chivalrous and to pay for dates and to open car doors for them. But what she doesn't know is the only reason he hasn't done it was the woman before her yelled at him for doing that, because she was independent and she can open her own darn door. Thank you very much. So there's a lot of confusion in that area, and how you navigate that on dates is you just let him know what would make you happy and what you need. So if you actually need something, like you need him to open the door for you, you could tell him. And how you would do that is directly. Kindly, but directly.
And so would you do it right then and there? You're standing at the car door and just be like, you know, it would really make me happy if you'd open the door for me.
I wouldn't do it there because it might get awkward. It would be something that I would just handle in the moment myself. And then while we were at dinner, I'd have a conversation of what's important to me.
And so are you going to cover that in?
What's important to me is to feel like a woman, and what that looks like is when a man opens a car door for me, when, like that, and then just what else that looks like. When he walks on the outside of the street or I walk on the inside of the street, it makes me feel very safe and taken care of. It makes me feel important to him. Again, you want to bring it back to how it would make you feel, what it would provide in your life. Otherwise, it just sort of sounds like a demand.
Mm-hmm.
And some men will think, great, I've been waiting for you. I've been holding back because I keep getting slammed by women. But actually, that's something I need to do for women. And another man will think, women's lib handled all that. Why are you asking me for that? I don't want to do that. And if that's something that's important to you, then you've just sorted him out.
Okay, great. And so, all right, are you going to cover, you're going to cover that in your teleclass?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit specifically about the teleclass, because there's so many things that we need to know, and men and women communicate so differently, and different individual men and women need so many different things, like we've just been talking about. So what else are you going to be covering? Like you talk here about you can learn all this and more. One of the things is drawing out a man's power. Can you give us an example of what that might be like?
Well, there's something that happens when a man really likes a woman, and what will happen from time to time is he'll get kind of squirrely, girly, indecisive. He'll be trying to impress you, and how he's trying to do that is agree with you, and you'll say, is your favorite color black or white? And he'll say, what's yours again? Me too. And you think, no, I don't even like that quality about me, and you're doing that at me right now. I need you to be decisive. I need you to be masculine. And so they actually kind of can tap into this squirreliness that makes him unattractive. Which, isn't it a bummer that you might not like someone because of the fact that he likes you too much? Terrible,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I actually teach you a trick, and it takes quite a bit of time, or I'd give it to you right now, teach you a trick on how, and who you're tricking is yourself, how to flip him back into his masculinity so you can then decide if he really could be your mate or not. You can actually see him as a man, squared shoulders, and he'll stop that behavior that's driving you a little bit nutty. You'll draw out his masculinity. You'll draw out his power. That's one of the things, and that comes sort of in the middle of the course, and the reason why is it's because it's something that happens while you're on the date. So the 8 weeks starts chronologically with what do you need before you even go on a date? How do I get yourself in great shape? And I don't mean at the gym. I mean great shape spiritually, get yourself in great shape to be single, to be out there, to be strong and ready. And then we go from there. Where do you find him? Who is he? Why aren't you finding him? Where else to go look for him? All the way into what happens on a date, tricky situations to deal with on dates, paying for dates, major, major topic, paying for dates. I will change your mind about paying for dates. Not that you will want to pay for dates. I'm just going to reframe paying for dates in a very specific way that it'll make much more sense to you. And I'll also teach you how to be gracious when he's paying. Instead of doing that crazy fake purse grab thing we do really well. And we carry on through the 8 weeks all the way to once you got him, once you think you're on the road with him, how to keep it going, how to sustain it, how to put in the information to him what you need and make sure you got that squeaky clean relationship for the first year or so. And then the training wheels come off. You're on your own.
Thank you, Wendy. And you mentioned being in shape for relationship and for dating. And my question is, we all have things that come up, issues, and some of them don't even come up until we're dating, until we're in a relationship. One for me is I have abandonment issues. I'm aware of this, and it's something that I'm constantly working on and have been working on for most of my life. It's not going to go away next week.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you determine, you know, like, I'm never going to be perfect. So what's ready enough and what's too messed up to even bother?
Well, I can't determine that for people. You're going to have to know for yourself if you're in good enough shape mentally to date. No one's perfect. No one's got their act together 100%. And there are, for some women who need to do some healing work before they can move on. And then for a lot of us, we just have our stuff, and we always have our stuff, and we're always working on our stuff. But for the most part, we're human, and we're good to go. You know, we can interact with that. But the trick is, as women, we are working really hard, and we spend a lot of time in our masculinity. And then as a single person, we often don't take care of ourselves in a really delicious way, in a luscious way, where we are extravagant with ourselves. We usually run ourselves right into the ground with work. We're exhausted, we're tired, we have our own stuff, we're depleted, and when we're depleted, things like abandonment issues and other issues that we have become intensified. And then we're trying to go on a date, and slap being pretty and exciting and feminine on top of exhausted, depleted, and slightly insecure based on the fact that we're exhausted and depleted. And by the way, we're running around in our masculine mode because we just got off work and we're still trying to produce results, including producing this result of a date. Not good for you, not good for him. So when I talk about getting you in good shape, I talk about the things that you can do for yourself to have you be in better shape and not depleted. And when you're not depleted, your issues are not magnified.
Hmm. Thank you. How long do you spend on that?
It's a conscious effort, and it's not like it's adding more to your daily to-do list. There's little things that you can do for yourself that take really good care of yourself. And that's an entire hour-long call, and I have many suggestions on what to do.
Wonderful.
One of the things, I'll give you one right now, one of the things that I did for myself was I would buy myself flowers on Friday. And I'm not talking expensive. You can go get a dozen red roses at your local grocery store for $10, except for the week of Valentine's where they jack it up times three. But all the weeks but Valentine's, $10 a week, you've got fresh red roses in your house. That feeds you. That feeds your femininity, your sense of needing beauty, your sense of being loved. There are things that you can do for yourself that it would be great if a guy could do them for you, But if you don't have one right now, you might want to do that for yourself to help keep you in good shape. Lots of little things like that.
Thank you, Wendy. Well, that brings up a question for me. I actually do have sort of, I mean, I'm dating, so I'm not in a relationship, but I'm dating, and there's one person that I'm dating, and I told him that it really makes me happy when he brings me flowers, and that they don't have to be expensive. Even just one flower would be nice, right? And so when he does bring me flowers, I always thank him and tell him how happy I am. And I texted him actually this morning and told him that I really appreciated the flowers that he gave me a few days ago, because they make me feel happy and they make me think of how sweet he is when he sends them. And so my question is, when a man does something that you've asked for, or even if you haven't, just something that you like, that you want him to keep doing, what level of appreciation do you, like, how do you appreciate him in a way that isn't going to overdo it, but you're giving him enough credit that he's going to want to keep doing it?
It depends on the man. Some men need a lot of appreciation. Some just need a one-time thank you. My friend in Seattle who came to First Dates with the prenup, he liked thank you in the form of a card. He liked the written word. And he would tell, he's very clear, very good communicator. He would tell anyone he was dating, I will give you the moon. I have no problem spending lots of money on you, lots of time with you, giving you everything you need and what the things that would make you happy. And how I want to be thanked is by a card. And could you go to Papyrus and make it a nice one? So he would go out and do lavish spa vacations with his partner and expensive dinners and flowers, and she didn't want to do the writing of the card. She wanted to tell him, and she thought it would be very important that he learn her way of expressing her thank you. No, his way was written card. She never wrote him one. He broke up with her. He never felt appreciated.
Did he want a card every time?
Him how he most wants to be appreciated and give it to him in his language.
Okay. And this is the thing, though. Okay. First of all, my question is, did he want a card after every date or just once in a while?
He wanted a card after every gift.
After every gift. Okay. That's fair. I mean, if you're aware of it.
Yep.
But what do you do about, because I am very, I work very hard at trying to give back to my partner and make sure that he's appreciated, because appreciation to me is so important. And yet, what if a lot of people aren't really that self-aware? You know, like I'll ask the guys that I date, well, I need this, and is there anything else that you need from me in order to do this? Or just, is there anything in general that you need from me that you're not getting? And 95% of the time, the answer is no. There's nothing else I need. And I don't know if that's necessarily, not that they're being deceitful, but if it's not necessarily 100% true.
I wouldn't worry about true or false. I would just pay attention to how he is about it. And if he says he doesn't need anything, then a general, which is most men, by the way, what they really need is to see the look on your face, to see you smiling. That's enough for them. To hear you say thank you, to have you appreciate whatever it is, whether it be a gift or time or his energy, whatever that is, his attention, just your appreciation of it, a few words, that's all they need. And some men like to be appreciated differently, acts of service. I will, not like a trade, but more of an appreciation. If he takes you to the spa weekend getaway, maybe you cook him dinner on Tuesday to say thank you. So again, it's just different with every man, and you want to ask, and if he says nothing, you can believe him, because maybe what he really means is the look on your face is enough.
Okay. Thank you, Wendy. Well, again, your website is 101dates.com. That's the number 101dates.com. And if you're interested in checking out the book, 101 First Dates, A Survival Guide for the Single Girl, or starting on Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific on January 16th is the first class. It's an 8-week teleclass. You can find out more information at 101dates.com if you're interested in that. And we have about 10 or 15 minutes left in the show. So, Wendy, I'm just wondering what you would like to spend the rest of this time on.
Okay. So, thank you for asking. I would like to talk about weight. Can we talk about weight?
Weight, like how much you weigh?
Yes.
Sure.
This has come up a lot lately. I don't know if it was because of the holidays and everybody ate cookies, and now it's January and we all have to go to the gym. But I've been working with a lot of women who say, I really want to date. I haven't dated in 6 months, 3 years, 5 years. I'm really surprised by the 3 years, 5 years, by the way. Haven't dated in a very long time, and I'm almost there. I'm almost ready. What I'm working on is my weight. I'm gonna put my profile up when I lose blank. When I lose 5 pounds, when I lose 20 pounds, when I lose 30 pounds, I'm going to wait. What goes unsaid is I'm going to get myself to fighting weight because I'm not going to be able to attract the caliber of man I want where I am right now.
Hmm.
And I'm telling you, it's not true. It's not true. So if anybody out there is waiting until she's thin enough, stop waiting. Go get your pictures taken, include a full body shot so they can sort themselves in or out, and go be who you are right now because he's out there right now. But the problem with waiting is oftentimes we don't reach our goal weight and then we've wasted another 3 months, 6 months, year, whatever. And then some of us do. Some of us do reach our goal. We've reached that fighting weight. We throw our profile up. We're excited about it. We're going to go get that man, and we meet him, and he's fantastic, and he starts courting us. And what do you do when you get courted? You get taken out to dinner over and over and over again. You watch movies and lay around on Sunday together over and over and over again, and before you know it, you've gained 5 pounds. Now you're freaking out because he picked you because you were your fighting weight, and now you're fat, and now you can't, and oh my goodness, and you're going to lose him now, and it's this whole cycle. Just go be yourself. Meet him now. If you feel like you need to lose weight, you can do that while you're dating. And if you lose a little bit, great. You might gain a little bit from the midnight milkshake you have one night, but then you can go run on the treadmill or whatever, and he will like you because he picked you. He picked you at your not ideal weight. It gives you some breathing room to be yourself. That's my soapbox moment.
No, thank you. I know I've gained a lot of weight over the hook since Thanksgiving. So, yeah, and I'm not feeling exactly the most sexy, but I am still out there dating. I haven't had new pictures taken because everyone I've asked said that they can't tell that I've gained weight. So,
yeah. Yeah, and men have a much broader capacity for our body size than women do. I actually, so cute, we were talking about type earlier, and I almost said it earlier, that I studied type for 5 years. 5 years drove me the most crazy. Out of all the topics around men and sex and understanding dating, type and body type just drove me nuts. And there are some men who have a very rigid idea of their type. They have a flavor. But most men, and then to the other side of the pendulum, there are some men who their type is a woman. And then there are all kinds of men in between who have many types. Or, I mean, think of you as a woman. You might go see a movie and have one movie star that's a type and a totally different movie star that's another type and different colors, sizes, shapes of men that might be also your type. You might have 3 or 4 types. They do too. They might have several different types, but for the most part, what I understand from men is you either have it or you don't. You are or you're not. There's enough going on with you that, yep, you could be his type. And we tend to think that we can look at his ex or what he talks about as attractive and we know his type. It's just not true. And it's something that we completely drive ourselves crazy over. So if you want to know, are you his type, chances are if he's asked you out on a date and it's not a meet and greet date, Yes, you aren't his type. Because men ask out women who they want to have a sexual relationship with. They only ask out women who they want to have sex with. They might not expect to have it that very night. They might have to wait a really long time, but they think that you're their type. Again, unless it's a coffee meet and greet, he hasn't actually seen you yet. So those first meet and greet dates do not count for that. But if he asks you out after that, yeah. And if for some weird reason you're not feeling like you're his type, but he weirdly asked you out at the end and now you're left confused and wondering, is it because I'm such a great conversationalist that he just thought I was fun and he's bored and he asked me out again? You could actually ask the question, hey, I just wasn't quite feeling your attraction for me. Am I your type? And then let him tell you. You could ask, am I your flavor? Flavor is a good way to go. Am I your flavor? Because it's not personal. They don't have a choice. They either are or they're not. They grow on us. Men can grow on us. For the most part, we don't grow on men the way men grow on women.
Yeah, I find that's true because for me, I mean, there's one or two types of guys that physically I would just be like, yeah. But the guys that I typically end up having relationships with often aren't that type. So mm-hmm. if I really like his personality or if he's really funny or we get along really well, then chemistry can grow over time. But that's not... I in my experience with the men that I've spoken with, the older a guy gets, the more open he is to dating for personality and companionship rather than sex.
Yeah, and that's completely biological. I mean, if you think of the from a biology standpoint, when a man is 21, he is in reproduction mode, and what he's going to be looking for is his type. His body type, and it usually has something to do with indented waist, larger hips, has to do with being able to bear children and seeing she's not already pregnant. That's what that indented waist is so exciting for. You can see right off the bat, not pregnant. Now, older men, they're not driven in that same way because they're not in reproductive mode like a 20-year-old is from a biological standpoint. So what they're going to be looking at, which is good because women like me, we don't have indented waists. but the difference that men are looking for is they're looking for a woman who's in her body, who lives in it, who can be her sexy self and fully integrated into her presence, into her body, into her authenticity. She's not just dragging it behind her because it betrayed her as it aged. Which a lot of women do. So most important to an older man, men over 35, all the way to the end, is that she's in there. How they talk about it is the way she moves in her body.
So I'm thinking the fact that I keep getting hit on by 20-year-old guys, I should take as a compliment.
Yes.
But I don't want, I mean, they're adorable, but please. And they all offer, I'm like, well, I'm looking for a husband. Well, you know, I'm not looking for that. But if you want me to, like, be really nice to you and have sex with you, I'll do that. Like, yes, I know you will. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for that offer. I kindly decline.
Yeah. And they keep coming back and checking, like, so, Are you bored of dating yet? Do you need a young guy yet? No. It's very sweet.
It is very sweet. A lot of women get very ticked off by that sort of thing, but if we could take that as a huge compliment, the world would be a better place. Men like to have sex. It's not bad. Women do too, by the way. But yeah, we often think that's a bad thing, you know? You didn't say it, but I often hear women say, well, I want a relationship and he just wanted sex. Yes? Yeah. Often we're looking for different things. But it's not bad that they want that. They actually need that. They need sex like they need food. And then we keep getting mad at them for needing that, you know? So thanks for giving the youngsters the kindness and setting your boundary with a no.
Yeah.
Like, I know, thank you.
Yeah, it's funny. All right, well, we just have a couple of minutes left in the show. So is there one most important point that you want listeners, whether you've brought it up or not, that you want listeners to really take home today?
Yes. As you're trying to date and be single and deal with all of that, you will automatically always be looking for a strategy. What strategically is the right thing to do? How can I best play this so I can get him? Always remember, when you're trying to strategize, the best strategy is authenticity. Just be yourself. And if you're trying to figure out if you're going to tell him something, ask yourself, would you tell your friend? You could actually relate to him like he's your friend instead of your opponent that you're trying to win the game with. Over at.
Thank you. Well, it is time to wrap up the show, and I need to play. I just realized that I was playing Scotty's ads from Scotty's Scenic Drive, so I've got to play the ones for Synchronicity. And coming up in just a moment here on CITR is Parts Unknown with DJ Chrisorific, so stick around for that. And again, it's 101dates.com. Our guest today is Wendy Newman. Thank you so much for being with me today, Wendy.
Thank you, Bree. It was so fun. It's always fun being on your show, so thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye now.
Okay, well, that has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much for being with me today. And next week, we'll be back with another episode of Synchronicity. Take care. Bye-bye.
Namaste.
Oh, namaste. Oh, I love you so much. Namaste. I always say that. I forgot. Okay.
Scared to be yourself sometimes. This world can be so blind. But if you take the chance to trust, start to open up, you just might find that you are loved. And I see the light. What you really want, tell me what you really need, reveal all you feel, you will be received. You don't have to hide away all the things you really want to say. There are others who have felt this way. You're not alone, I feel your pain. Yeah, I see the light.
What is this?
CITR 101.9 FM.
A center!